If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
On this post-bye week edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast, we sit down with 49ers General Manager John Lynch to assess his feelings about the team's 1-9 record and what he envisions for the future. This interview first aired on 49ers Game Plan, which can be seen on NBC Bay Area on Saturday evenings, so check that out. We'll break up that interview into two halves and talk to four-time Pro Bowl quarterback Jeff Garcia to discuss what John Lynch has to say. So I'll call Jeff right now and see what he's up to.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff, it's Matt.
Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well. How's everything with you?
All good.
We'll start off with a question. Matt right. Morrell wants to know, it's a good opener question. How was the bye week? What did you do during the bye week?
Well, you know, I play in an old man's football league. So they play on Sundays. And I've had to miss most of the games because I'm committed to going up to the Bay Area and being a part of the 49ers show. So it gave me a chance to get back out with the guys and run around and play a little football on Sunday. So I had a good time doing that and taking the kids to the movies. They saw Justice League last night and keeping them busy during this Thanksgiving break. But the bye week for me was really somewhat the norm, just staying active, staying busy with my kids, but getting a chance to reconnect with some of the old guys in my old man football league. So that was a fun Sunday I had.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to ask a few follow-ups now. So this is a flag football league?
It's actually a two-hand touch. It's 35 and older. It's 6-on-6, and it's a league that's been going for years in the Carlsbad area. And I got involved in it last year as a quarterback, which may be unfair in certain ways.
I could see that.
Yeah, so this year, because I couldn't make most of the games because of my job with the 49ers and NBC Sports, they wouldn't allow me to play quarterback. So I'm a receiver and a DB on the field, which actually is probably more fun for me because it's a little more challenging. It gets me out of my comfort zone of playing quarterback and gets me in an area to do other things instead of just always pulling the trigger.
Oh, that's funny. So are you the only NFL player in this league?
Currently, yes. I believe I am the only NFL, former NFL player in this league. There are a lot of guys that have played college ball. Actually, the quarterback on our team, Ryan Sorahan, is a Los Gatos native, went to Cal initially, ended up at Arkansas as a quarterback. The guy's got a cannon for an arm. He's about 6'4", 230, and can probably chuck it 80-plus yards and sometimes doesn't have a second speed on his throws, but he's doing a good job of playing quarterback this year.
How many receptions for you yesterday?
Yesterday I probably had, I'd say, 8 catches and, let's see, 2 or 3 touchdowns and nice. one interception on defense. So it's fun. I mean, shoot, like I said, I mean, it varies. We have guys that are closer to that 35 age range all the way up to guys that are in their probably mid-50s. But at the end of the day, we sit around and watch the next game and drink a couple beers and reminisce and talk yes to each other. So
did you guys win yesterday?
We did. We won.
Okay. Well, I would assume that you guys did not have the kind of celebration that the 49ers had after their win against the New York Giants. I'm sure you saw the video of that. What do you think about how they responded to getting their first victory of the year?
You know what? I think you really have to live in the moment. and I appreciate the enthusiasm. Let's not get lost in the fact that it is very difficult to win in the National Football League. And this is a very young football team that obviously hadn't experienced that. And when they finally did, that's a huge weight lifted off of their shoulders. Why should they not be excited about that moment? They realize, hey, they didn't win a Super Bowl. They didn't do anything like that as of yet. But for this moment, what a spirit lifter. You know, there's no reason to constantly, when you're not winning football games and you're having to go into that facility day in and day out, and your head is starting to hang a little lower because, gosh, it's just, it's cumbersome. It's frustrating. It takes away from your smile and your personality. And to see that come back, the joy of winning and what that can do for a team and how it can bring a team together, I love it, man.
Yeah, so you know that I talked to John Lynch, and we're going to break that interview up into a couple segments. But I asked him about this, about his reaction, the team's reaction, and a bunch of other stuff here on the first half of the John Lynch interview. So let's go to that right now.
All right, John, you're 10 games into this. I know you didn't expect to be 1-9, but when you see what's transpired in these first 10 games, can you make sense out of it?
Sure. And you can actually be encouraged. And it's so contrary to what I've always believed in. You know, usually miserable when you're not winning. And it hadn't been fun, I'll tell you that. But, you know, what kept us encouraged was the fact, I think, number one, that we have a plan. And we can see ourselves working out of this. And I can see foundational pieces that we have. And then you also see the effort that guys have been playing with. And the attention to detail. And all those things that typically with an 0-9 team, people just say that's a bad team. And while we've been injured and compromised from that standpoint, I've been very pleased with the way guys are working, the way coaches are coaching. And we finally got that paid off with a win, you know, and that was huge for us.
I bet you never thought you'd be celebrating a win, in the first win in the 10th week of the season. Why was it such a big deal? Why did you guys react the way you did?
Well, I've always been act like you've been there guy, and so I was surprised I was acting like that. But I think just because you're proud of, it's easy to lose a team when you just haven't won. That's what this business is all about. And when you're not, it can be miserable. It can be, but I think the fact that everyone feels that positive energy and sees progress despite the fact it wasn't showing up on the one loss record. And you know, the fact of the matter, we historically were close on about five games, and but that's the next step we have to take in our culture, is to find the playmakers, to make those plays to win the games. And you know, against the Giants we did, and that's why, you know, we got a 46-year-old GM bouncing around with our players, and it was fun. And that's what this league's, it's what makes it so special.
Well, you got a lot of young guys who are contributing, who are playing well, and then the veterans too, who have stayed with the program and are setting a good example. And one of the guys, Joe Staley, I mean, comes back from a broken eye socket. That has to show you something about the character in that locker room and the kind of guys and how important it is to them.
Yeah, we're so appreciative of guys like Joe. Adrian Colbert, who broke a thumb in the first five plays of the game and played an entire game, you know, with a broken thumb, and played really well. But Joe Staley, been here for a long time, played at a very high level. Been really easy for him, because players have a voice in that as well, to say, hey, I just don't feel right. Instead, Joe was chomping at the bit, came back and really lifted his team. I think that commitment to his teammates will never be lost, and we certainly appreciate his efforts.
Speaking of a commitment to his teammates, and I mean, what Marquise Goodwin went through, were you surprised that he even wanted to come to the game? I mean, how did you guys approach that in giving him the support he needed and kind of letting him do what felt right for him?
Well, it happened so late. I mean, typically I get a call when something like that. I didn't even get a call until I showed up and Kyle and I were talking. He says, you know, I don't know if Marquise is going to play. We knew there was a situation going on, but then it just happened very suddenly. And so, first of all, our hearts went out to Marquise, and we really left it to him as to what he wanted to do. Now, we were in a very tough position because we're so thin at receiver. Trent Taylor wasn't playing, George Kittle. So, Marquise decided to play. And then you don't know how it's going to go because he was up all night dealing with the situation. And obviously, went incredibly well on the field. But most of all, our heart aches for he and his wife and for his family. It's a tough, tough loss, but we're a family. And I think it comforted him being around his 49er family yesterday on the field.
And you saw it, obviously, through a different lens than everybody else did when he scored that touchdown, made a tremendous play. I mean, really, all 11 guys.
Yeah.
You got the blitz pickup from Garrett Celek and Carlos Hyde, the good blocking up front. CJ made a great throw. Marquise with the good catch and breaking the tackle. When you see him go down like he did in the end zone, I mean, it just had to rip your heart out.
Yeah, it did. And to see that togetherness of our team. They knew he was hurting. And, typically there's a new league rule about, they're trying to speed up games and it's after touchdowns. You only have so much time. But I didn't care if we got a delay there because of what was going on. And I think what it meant to our guys, what it meant to Marquise for sure.
I mentioned Carlos Hyde. I mean, here's a guy that, he's doing some new things, catching a lot more balls out of the backfield. He seemed to do something that you kind of appreciated a couple weeks ago. You came off the sideline after he got ejected. It was an 0-9 team at that point.
Right.
What did you like about that, the way Carlos and Lakin Tomlinson before him responded when CJ absorbed that high hit?
Yeah, well, first of all, Matt, I want to be very clear. I played a hard brand of football, but I was always poised and played with what I thought was class. I played the way of the game, and that's what I want out of our players. But I saw a situation, I was proud of Carlos because he fought for his teammate. He had his teammates back. We talk a lot about having your teammates back. Steve Young and Jerry Rice talked about that is the embodiment of the 49er way. Is having your teammates back, and that's what I saw from Carlos. He got sick and tired of the refs not doing anything about our quarterback getting hit in the head, and he finally had enough. And I think at some point, particularly when you're trying to build something, someone's got to stand up and say, nah, we're not having it. We're not going to be pushed around anymore. And did my emotions get the best of me? Maybe, but I was proud of Carlos, and not because he was kicked out of a game, because the reason why, because he had his teammates back, and I wanted to let him know that I appreciated that. And Carlos has been fun to watch this year. He's made a big time commitment to the way we're asking him to do things, the way Bobby Turner and Kyle are asking him to do things. He's walking around the building with a smile on his face. He's enjoying playing football, and you have to have success in this game. And we're really pleased with the way Carlos is both behaving and playing.
Okay, so that was part one of the John Lynch interview, and we talked a lot about the positions other than quarterback. So let me ask you this. This is from Chris C. on Twitter. He asked, Jeff, what offensive position would you like to see the 49ers address first in the 2018 draft? Which offensive position do you think needs is in the most urgent need of help?
Well, I think you always have to look at your offensive line. I mean, I think the offensive line is really where it starts with the offense. If you can't protect, if you can't drive people off the ball, if you can't open up run lanes, you're not going to be successful in the running game or the passing game. And to solidify that offensive line, to make it stronger, to look at where there's true need and where value can be brought in, I think is first and foremost. After you get through that offensive line, I think you have to look at your outside speed, your receivers, your big play opportunities. Who's going to help you stretch the field? I believe they have a guy that they're really starting to get excited about, who had a great game last game, and Marquise Goodwin. But can he be consistent enough? Is he truly that guy? I think you have to bring more weapons to the table to help the quarterback position to be successful. Tight end. They have a young tight end in George Kittle, and not to take anything away from him, I think he's done a great job, but they need to add more speed to that tight end position as well, and have somebody who can really stretch the vertical seams of defenses and create a threat down the field as well, and mismatch opportunities. I don't know if George necessarily creates any matchup opportunities in their favor as of right now. He's a tough, hard-nosed guy. He's a blue-collar type guy, but they need a little bit more athleticism from that position as well to really help the passing game.
You heard what John Lynch had to say about Carlos Hyde. He said, we're really pleased with the way Carlos is both behaving and playing. In the behaving, you know, he really liked the fact that he got into the mix in that game against the Cardinals. And I don't know if he liked that he got ejected, but he liked that Carlos was kind of standing up for teammates. You know, a lot of people believe that 49ers are going to have, you know, they're going to have a first, second, or third overall pick probably. And if Garoppolo is their quarterback of the future, people are thinking Saquon Barkley from Penn State. What would be your feeling on using one of those really high draft picks on a running back like Saquon Barkley?
I don't know. I mean, you look at Saquon Barkley and what he's done lately. I mean, the guy has kind of fallen off himself, and not to say that that's not going to change getting in the NFL, but you know, running backs to me, they're more, those guys come in higher numbers, I believe, coming into the draft. I believe that there are more guys that you can get work out of, and teams aren't looking for one guy to be their sole ball carrier anymore as well. I mean, you look at just teams around the league and how they use multiple guys in the backfield, and the 49ers are using multiple in the backfield this year with Carlos Hyde and Matt Breida. And I think they've been, from the standpoint of what they've been able to achieve, considering they haven't had a whole lot of room to run, they've been a pretty good 1-2 punch. And now Carlos Hyde, even though he hasn't had the great numbers running the football this year, he's been productive as a pass catcher. I don't necessarily think that he's a guy that you give up on right now, especially with a young free agent fine in Matt Breida, who brings a change up of speed and some explosiveness as well. And so I really think that you can use that high pick either to get yourself more picks later or to really utilize it on a quality player that's going to be a difference maker, whether it be on the offensive line or defensive line. And those are the guys that really, I think, bring value for long lengths of time, for years to come, in those higher draft picks.
Yeah, and no, I agree with you. And it seems to me that the 49ers are getting, you know, the more they're seeing of Carlos Hyde, they're liking it. And to see John Lynch come off the sideline and slap hands with him was kind of interesting. And it also brought up, you know, the point that John Lynch was making, which is, you know, he wants to see teammates have each other's backs. And
right.
I mean, you played with some enforcers on your offensive line, guys who had people's backs, Jeremy Newberry, Derek Deese, Ron Stone, among others. How much does that mean for a quarterback, you know, to, you know, absorb what could be a questionable hit or whatever the case may be, and know that you can just kind of step away? Some of your offensive linemen are going to be coming in there and protecting you.
Oh, absolutely. You want those guys on. You want that sort of brotherhood within your locker room, that players are going to stand up for each other. They're going to protect each other. And yes, I was fortunate to have that. I had some great guys in front of me, Newberry and Deese and Ron Stone and Scott Gregg and they wouldn't take anything from anybody. And that sort of mentality is contagious. It starts to breathe excitement and energy into your locker room. And what Carlos Hyde did, as much as, hey, you don't want a player to sacrifice his time on the field and get ejected out of a game, but it got to a point where he was like, enough is enough, man. I'm tired of my quarterback getting hit in the face and either the ref's not stepping up to help protect him or somebody else. And I'm going to step up. And that's what he did. And it was all out of protection and that brotherhood of wanting to show that he cares.
So this is the second half of the John Lynch interview, and we're going to be talking all about the quarterback situation, Jimmy Garoppolo and C.J. Beathard. We'll talk more about that after this plays, Jeff. But first off, I'm going to ask John Lynch about C.J. Beathard. Do you think he has shown enough, you know, regardless of who's starting and what happens the rest of the season, do you think he's shown enough as a rookie to be a part of this organization for a long time?
Oh, I really believe he has. I think first and foremost, he's shown a toughness that you want to have in your locker room, a mentality that he's not going to stay down when he's knocked down. He's going to bounce back up and he's going to keep coming at you. He's going to keep battling. And that's another thing that's contagious within the locker room. Guys feed off of that. And you need those type of guys to create a certain toughness, a certain edge, physical and mental edge within your locker room. He's continuing to grow. He's only going to get better through time and through experience. And he could be a valued member, player of this franchise organization for a long time.
Okay, so here is the second part of the John Lynch interview.
And a lot of these guys are trying to earn their spots back on the team next year and show that there's a role for them in the future. And your quarterback, I think, has probably done that. You know C.J. Beathard is going to be here in some role. What have you seen from him in this stretch where he's taken over as the starter?
He's been impressive. He really has been. And, you know, the Giants game, I think we saw that pay off with great statistics and things. But before that, we saw a guy fighting, and we saw a guy who is tough as nails. But he sees the game really well. It's certainly not too big. He's extremely poised. Sometimes he is so relaxed back there with chaos around. And I think that's one of the characteristics of great quarterback play. And we're very encouraged with CJ. And we knew that we were very encouraged with CJ when we went out and made the move for Jimmy Garoppolo. But we also taken a page from the Patriots book. You can't be strong enough at that position. And so when we felt like we had an opportunity to acquire a guy that we thought had franchise quarterback ability, we said, hey, let's let this thing play out. CJ's playing now, and he certainly made the most of his opportunity against the Giants.
So what is the plan with Jimmy Garoppolo, and how closely do you and Kyle talk about how you want to proceed with him?
Yeah, we talk all the time, but, you know, that's really in Kyle's wheelhouse. But I think the plan is to continue to get him ready. Very different system that he played under. A great system, but a different system he played under in New England. And Kyle's system's complex for a quarterback. There's a lot of verbiage in every play call. There's a lot of adjustments on each and every play call that the quarterback controls. And so we want to set Jimmy up for success. And also the way CJ's playing is helping us be able to sit back. And now we have a bye week. They're going to work hard during this week to get him up to speed. But right now, we don't need to put him in. CJ just played a great game, and his teammates really believe in him. And we think that's nothing but a good situation.
Everybody knows that when you traded for him, you had him under contract for basically half a season. Do you need to see him get on the field this year before you guys in the front office are able to put a value on him, decide at what kind of level you want to retain him for the future?
No, I don't think so. I think we know what we like about Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's only been strengthened by the time that he's been here. And we're just going to let these things play out. And like I said, that's in Kyle's hands. But people have had all these ideas of why we got Jimmy. We got Jimmy because we think he has big time ability at the quarterback position, and we believe so much. To get where we want to get, you have to have a franchise quarterback. We think he's got that ability. Whether that happens, when that happens, you know, we'll see. But, you know, we certainly like his future with the 49ers.
You got some big-time building blocks on the defensive side. And Solomon Thomas will be back after the bye week, I would assume. But Reuben Foster getting on the field now and making an impact. Is he what you thought he would be? I know before the draft, you fell in love with him when you met him and watched the film. Is he giving you what you expected?
Yeah, I think he's a special football player, and I think he's just scratching the surface. He is a rookie, and he's getting used to a new defense, and you can see it on a chalkboard, but you got to go play to experience it. And so I think he's just scratching the surface, but the early returns are really good. The other thing that we noticed about Ruben when we watched him at Alabama, he just has that, certain guys have an ability to lift a team, not just defense, you know, but the offense, the crowd. People respond to his energy on the field. We think he's got some special attributes from that. And then I think the play speaks for itself. He's all over the field, 14 tackles one game, 9 the other. He does things, he makes certain things look easy that aren't easy in this game. I think he's got a chance to be a really, really special football player for us.
Is that the exciting part about these final, you know, six games of the season where, you know, you guys aren't going to the playoffs,
right,
but you can see how those young guys are developing and kind of set your team up for the 2018 season?
No doubt, and set our standard up. I think that's just as important. We want to see, continue to see who's responding, who is going to be a part of this moving forward, but we also want to raise that standard. You know, after a win like against the Giants, yeah, we were elated in the locker room, but that didn't keep us and the coaches from going in there and coaching hard and saying, guys, we won, but we can be so much better if we tighten up some of these details. So we're going to continue to develop that as part of our culture. But absolutely, we're evaluating everything and everyone, and there's a lot of positives.
All right, Jeff, you heard John Lynch say, we have a plan to continue to get Jimmy Garoppolo ready. We want to set him up for success. Right now, we don't feel like we need to get him out there because CJ just played a great game and his teammates believe in him. He said it's a great situation. So do you see this? Is this a great situation for the 49ers, not feeling the need to, you know, to rush Jimmy Garoppolo out there?
Absolutely. I think within that organization, they know what they like in Jimmy Garoppolo. They know what they're able to see him every single day in practice and what he brings to the table as far as how he learns, how he mentally adapts and adjusts and grows within the system. It gives him more time to continue to get confident within speaking the verbiage. It's not an easy system to pick up, especially when you haven't had anything that really relates to that system in your recent past. I mean, coming from New England to San Francisco is really like learning an entirely new language. It's like going from the United States to Mexico and having to grasp their language in a matter of 3 weeks. It's just not going to happen overnight. Yes, there's no hurry, no reason to rush him into a situation where he's not completely confident and ready for that situation, especially with a young quarterback who just came off his best game as a National Football League player. And so I think they're in a great position to really pick and choose those times of when they want to start to sprinkle Jimmy onto the field and give him opportunities. And it may come in 2 weeks. It may come in 3 weeks. Who knows when that time will come? The fans don't make that decision. The coaches will make that decision. And they know what's right for the team.
So that leads us into this question, which comes from S.A. Tassie. And based on what you were just saying, Jeff, I think I know what your answer is. Who would you like to see at quarterback for the 49ers on Sunday versus the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, I want to see CJ continue to do his thing. I don't really have a need to see Jimmy step on the field and go through the process. I want to make sure, because I know how important the mental side of the quarterback position is, I want to make sure Jimmy's fully comfortable and ready to grasp that. But right now, after this past game, I want to see CJ respond with another game and start to show some consistency that week in and week out he can provide that for this team. And this will be a great challenge against a West Division rival in the Seattle Seahawks.
And this is a game that, you know, they're playing a team that's completely had their number, a team that's been far better than they've been for quite some time now. But it's a banged up Seattle team that's fighting for its playoff life. You know, they're not going to have Cliff Avril, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor. Those are all injuries that have some concern, I think, even for future seasons. So what kind of mindset should the 49ers have going into this game against a banged up Seattle team and a team that's kind of been their nemesis for several years?
Sure. Well, I think that it's a great opportunity to strike. And, you know, San Fran took Seattle right down to the wire in the first game that they played against each other up there in Seattle this year and had a chance to come away with the win in that one and unfortunately fell short. But I think that was a confidence builder in the sense for these young guys knowing that they can compete with that team. You're right. The 49ers have not been able to beat Seattle in quite some time. And there comes a time where you just have had enough of being bullied, and it's time to step up and grow out of those child clothes that you've been wearing and become a man and step up and really show what you're made of character-wise as a team and how you're going to fight and battle and find a way to scratch out a win in this big game coming up.
All right. Well, Jeff, any big Thanksgiving plans, any traditions?
No, you know, unfortunately, we're not near family down here in San Diego. You know, growing up in Gilroy and really having all of my family there in the Bay Area, we always had big Thanksgivings together with family and cousins and all those things, which was great. And things have changed a little bit, but hey, we're starting to develop that with our own kids. And it'll be somewhat quiet with some close friends down here in San Diego, but it'll be a nice Thanksgiving. How about you? You going to have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to go down to Santa Clara for their practice. That's the thing about the NFL, right? I mean, they just keep right on going.
Right. No days off.
No days off. They practice on Thursdays. But yeah, I think be able to spend some time with the family and watch some football and
good.
It should be a good time. Well, Jeff, I wish you and your family a great Thanksgiving, and I will see you on Sunday at Levi Stadium.
Sounds great. Thank you, Matt. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.